So, hey, I think we have Sid Ryan. Are you there, Sid?
I am indeed, Phil. How are you?
Hey, thanks for the initiative. You broke in on us where we're all juggling phones together, and you got in here. And I know your time is limited. We're going to respect that. But I was just congratulating Dimitri Lascaris for showing grit and speaking up for another approach to this war taking place in Ukraine. And by the way, around the world, he's not a lone voice. He's pretty much with the majority. But and incident, he's having a tour across Canada, and most of the meetings are coming off. But there's been some, I guess, expected turbulence. And he was going to have a meeting in Toronto, and I noticed that, my goodness, Sid Ryan was associated with it, but it didn't come off. And it was going to be held at an OPSU hall, is my understanding. But I want to just ask you, first of all, what about the Dimitri trip, and what were you going to say yourself?
Well, I was asked to basically chair the meeting. So, yeah, I mean, I would have made opening remarks. And, you know, the issue really here is there's an alternative voice out there to all of the warmongering that's going on. Dimitri Lascaris is essentially saying, look, I don't believe in the Russian invasion of Ukraine, but by the same token, nor do I believe in this never-ending war, which could spiral out of control, involve other nations, or even, God forbid, it could end up in a nuclear conflict. Yeah. So he's basically saying, look, there's another path here, which is one of peace. And you're right, he's not alone. I mean, we had Brazil, we had representation from the leadership of African nations. Mm-hmm. There's been many, many groups have made a way to Moscow and other places to talk about peace. So, Dimitri is not alone. But what really bothers me to no end is the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress are out there stirring up trouble because somebody wants to talk about peace. I mean, that's just unbelievable. I mean, I could see Dimitri was out there and he was warmongering. You could see where people would say, hey, wait a second.
But yeah, it's inflammatory, right?
That's the part that's so disheartening, to see this group doing this.
Yes. You know, I was impressed with, I think it was Jill Stein said, congratulations to Dimitri. She said, you know, if his voice were heard, people would be glad of it. The people who are trying to silence him seem to be rather unsure of their own position.
Well, you know, there's what they call the fog of war, right? I mean, we're being led to believe, you don't know what to believe. If you turn on the mainstream media, and it doesn't matter whether that's Euronews, whether that be the BBC, whether it be MSNBC, CNN, all of them are parroting the same lines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you go back only just, let's say, you know, 5 or 6 years back to 2014, without a doubt, all across the world, everybody was condemning this Azov battalion, which were basically a bunch of Nazis who were engaged in the conflict in the Donbass region.
Yes.
And everybody was condemning these folks, but now there's a whitewashing taking place, and all of a sudden these guys are no longer Nazis, now they're war heroes. And you say, well, wait a second. How can that be that everybody that was condemning these folks only not so long ago are now on the opposite side of that?
Yes.
And, you know, again, the conflict, going back to the falling of the Berlin Wall and the assurances that were given to the Soviet Union that there would never be any further movement east of NATO troops pushing up onto the Russian border. Well, that all has disappeared. Nobody wants to talk about that anymore.
Right. Like, by the way, remember the peace dividend? They use that expression, the peace dividend.
Right.
When did it come? Now we have a messed up European economy because everybody is just, you know, locked into, no, we won't trade with them, we're going to sanction them, and economies are being destroyed. What happened to the peace dividend?
Precisely. Well, and also the amount of weapons that are being poured, like, and the money involved that's being poured into Ukraine. And to be honest, I don't honestly see how, as bravely as the Ukrainians are fighting, I do not see a victory at the end of this for Ukrainians. Like, what they're talking about is pushing the Russians back back to the Russian border. I don't see that happening. Mm-hmm. And in the interim, I guess we'll see tens of thousands of more Ukrainian deaths along the way. And here's Dimitri. he's stepping forward and saying, you know what, can we at least have a discussion and a debate about a peace process? And and he's getting pilloried for that and hounded around the country because he wants to speak about peace. Yeah. That's really, as I say, that's extremely disheartening.
Yeah. You know, I really do think, I mean, I'm so glad, by the way, that you, when I saw your name associated, I thought this is more like it. And also, isn't it great? Union halls would be open, libraries. By the way, some of the toughest people in facing up to intimidation turns out are librarians. I understand out west the library was told, hey, you shouldn't do it. And they said, oh, no, he's going to talk about peace and there's no problem.
Yeah, unfortunately, the OPSU came under a lot of heavy lobbying and I guess some threats as well. That the issue would not be peaceful and, you know, and lots of people calling in. I guess a campaign organized by the Ukrainian Canadian Congress.
Yes, why aren't our political parties, why doesn't Jagmeet step in, Justin could step in and say, hey, the man is giving a speech, he's not calling for war, leave him alone. Why can't we get an editorial saying, how about leave these meetings to be, you know, let's practice some freedom and democracy here.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you know, again, as I say, through the fog of war, we're not going to get that. I mean, look, the other day, I couldn't believe my eyes when I'm listening and reading and seeing on TV that the Wagner group that's basically allegedly marching on Moscow and the Russian government is going to fall, and I'm thinking, like, this is so ridiculous. It's a ragtag group of 25,000 driving along a main highway, with, you know, 25,000 at best soldiers, which I don't even have that many, and you've got the Russian army with over a million people conscripted into the army. It just doesn't make any sense. And then, of course, it was only just today, John Bolton, of all people, he debunked all of this and said it was ridiculous from the beginning to be suggesting that somehow the Wagner group could, you know, impact upon the Russian government in any way, in any significant way. But if you turn on the TV and you listen to any one of those stations that I mentioned earlier, you would basically be convinced that somehow Moscow was going to fall and Russia was about the Putin was about the government was about to collapse. Yeah. You know, and then today it's like, oh no, well that was never a serious threat in the first place. So, you know, this is the misinformation that we're being fed. To be honest with you, it's bullshit was what we're being fed by the mainstream media. And that's why I agreed to speak with at the event that Dmitry is putting on. I said, okay, well maybe we can get somebody else who actually has gone into Russia. And he's met with some Russian folks. Maybe we can get a different perspective on what's actually taking place.
Yeah, and you know the man has really put together a nice resume because he's done all the things you should do. He writes well. He does serious investigations. He's a trained lawyer. I mean, you'd say, this is ideal. As a matter of fact, you know, in a healthy country, we'd say, well, how about Dmitry debates with somebody, the foreign policy spokesperson of the NDP or the Liberals? You know, have some public meetings like in the old days, you know, a teach-in. But they're all going with, oh, no, turn the lights out, lock the doors.
don't listen to him. He's a Putin stooge. And as a matter of fact, he doesn't even agree with the invasion of Ukraine.
No.
But people only just listen without condemning him, first off, you know.
Exactly.
You know, there's a second part of all of this, and there's a hypocrisy of it all. Sure, I understand about occupations and invasions coming from Ireland, and, you know, I fought against this kind of stuff all of my adult life. But what about the Palestinians? Like, where is the weapons going into Palestine to say you've been occupied illegally? UN resolutions are coming out of a yin-yang on that question.
Yes.
Where is the support for Palestinians to fight back against an illegal occupation in their own country?
Mm-hmm.
Not a peep about that, not a word about it from anybody.
No.
In fact, it's heresy to even say that out loud. That somehow we should be supporting the Palestinians to repel the Israelis.
Yeah, you know, they give us tunnel vision. You notice this is like they're talking about, they say foreign interference, but they really only mean one country. It's always foreign interference, it must be China. And meanwhile, some Sikh demonstrators take the streets in Vancouver saying foreign interference against India media is crickets. Got nothing because it's off message. Tunnel vision.
Yeah, precisely. And and the usual, you know, critics and pundits in the Globe and Mail and elsewhere will come out. And no doubt, if we haven't seen it already, but there will be editorial pieces criticizing Dmitry, calling him a Putin puppet and you name it, whatever there is.
Yes.
And all the man is doing is trying to put forward an alternative perspective and talk about peace rather than war.
Absolutely.
I mean, since when did that fall out of vogue in Canada? It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I think he's a great climber and he's got a good toehold, and I really look forward to his coming back and you speaking and Dmitry speaking, and we get public halls open once again to people advocating peace. Sid Ryan, you're a terrific guy. You got a great book. I always want to remind everybody, it's your life in trade unions. I forget the title.
It's a Vision.
A stronger vision.
The labor movement. Yes.
Well, you do represent it.
Thank you for plugging it.
Thank you very much for talking to us. Oh, and hey,
you're
on Twitter, by the way. Great work on Twitter. I hope people follow you on Twitter because you're one of the voices we need, Sid. Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
I'll let
you go. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM.